Welcome to Paris and Bazcast, where we answer your property and finance-related questions. And here's this week's topic with your hosts, Gurdev and Anmol Singh. Episode of Paris and Bazcast, where we bring to you topics that impact property management, sales, finance, and now commercial as well. Topic of discussion today is buying off the plan.
Yep.
Hello to everyone coming on.
So, buying off the plan.
Buying off the plan.
Our clients have done it. Number are looking to do it.
That's right.
What are the advantages and disadvantages?
That's right. So we've been at the purchasing end ourselves. We've got experience firsthand of what the things to look out for, including commercial and residential. So as it is a live stream, do feel free to put in your comments and be happy to answer any questions that you might have or your experiences if you have purchased off the plan. What are some of the things that you've seen? So I think overall, in a nutshell, if we were to define what exactly is buying off the plan, it's basically...
Yeah, you bought a couple of years ago, obviously, and the property is due to settle in a couple of years' time, depending on the property. It could be 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
You're basically entering in a contract. The property, the development is not yet built. You're just buying off a piece of paper.
Buying off a piece of paper, yep. Which means you can't physically go out and inspect the actual product. Although a lot of the builders and developers, they do have a display suite where you can go and see the finishings and the actual details of the property. You're basically signing off on something that is due to be built in the future in a couple of years' time. Definitely lots of advantages and risks associated with that, and which is what this topic is all about, unpacking some of those and exactly what are some of the things that you can do to avoid some of those risks as well. So to kick off, in terms of, let's talk about the positives first of all. Buying off the plan, why would you buy off the plan?
I think the main advantage that buyers look at buying off the plan is you can get the capital appreciation.
That's right.
So you're just basically paying a 10% deposit.
Yeah.
10% deposit plus stamp duty and then balance on the completion of the project.
Yeah.
So more often than not, if you get it right, you're buying in the right area, the property does appreciate over that, you know, period of time, 2, 3, 4 years. So sometimes you can have instant equity once you settle on the property.
Yeah.
So that's one of the main reasons our clients look at buying off the plan.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main positive. Obviously,
capital appreciation.
Depending on, I've seen in some instances in the last 10 years, customers have bought off the plan and the property has basically stayed the same.
Or even gone backwards.
Yeah. I've seen that in residential apartments where the market has been saturated. But if you're buying off the plan, normally vacant land, commercial, I've seen it increase more often than not.
Okay. Yeah. And so main advantage being the capital growth, are putting in a specific amount, usually 10%, and then you're having to redo your mortgage in terms of serviceability, you only do the mortgage at the time of settlement.
Mortgage is done at the time of settlement. Sometimes, depending on the development, you can do a 5% exchange as well.
Yeah.
So with instant equity at the time of settlement, you can buy another property. So if the property has, for example, gone up 40, 50%, you've got instant equity, you can buy another property and use that equity. So I think that's the main selling point, buying off the plan.
Absolutely.
But obviously there are disadvantages, as we'll discuss as well. One of them being it could stay the same. Number two, could go down in value.
Yeah.
Number three, your financial situation could change as well. So at the time of purchasing, when you purchased 2, 3 years ago, your financial situation was great. Companies down the track, your situation has changed. You've lost your job.
Yeah, interest rates have changed.
Interest rates have gone up.
Yeah.
You can't afford it anymore or you can't settle. That's when it becomes a risk factor, because then you're 10%. You could forfeit your 10% to the developer.
To the developer, yeah. So they basically say, look, if the settlement's coming, you can't settle. I'm sorry, you've lost your deposit. So
correct.
And they will resell at the new market rent.
And also they can come after you and get further compensation if they had to sell at a lower price than what was agreed upon as well. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of some of the things that we've seen that typically happens in off-the-plan purchases, one of them is the quality and workmanship off the build. Typically, you're buying off a piece of paper or the beautiful marketing material. It's nice and glossy. It looks lovely, but the actual product, depending on who has actually, it's contracted to the actual build, it varies.
Correct. So that's where it's very important when buying off the plan. You want to buy from a reputable developer. You can check what projects they have done in the past, and then go off there. Because if you're buying off a developer that hasn't done many projects, you don't know what you're in for, the workmanship, quality of finish, which is a main thing when it settles. So, which we have seen in the news, defective buildings, and yeah.
Absolutely. And the other thing is going bankrupt some of the times. Halfway through, the builders have gone bankrupt. Correct. So there hasn't been that sort of stability in the build, and then they've had to recontract to another builder. The prices go up as well in terms of, there's variation. So again, one of the things that you can do in that regard is do your research.
Yeah, it's very important to have a good solicitor on board on your side.
Absolutely.
Obviously, when buying off the plan, those contracts are normally bigger than buying a normal established dwelling.
Yeah.
So it's a big contract. You've got to have a good solicitor on your side.
Who has experience.
Just read through it, discuss all the pros and cons. Obviously, the sunset date. Sunset date is basically how long the developer has to complete the build, plus they have additional time period on top of that as well. So there's a number of factors that need to be considered before entering into an off-the-plan purchase.
Mm. Can you just expand a bit more on the sunset date? What exactly does that mean?
The sunset date is basically the developer puts a date on the contracts stating that the property has to be completed by this time frame.
Yep.
It could be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, depending on the situation.
Yep.
And they sometimes have additional time period they can put on top of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the contract is not open-ended, so there's an end date to the contract. So the buyer knows the property will be built by a certain date.
By X, Y, and Z.
Otherwise,
and if it's not,
then they can refund your deposit.
Yeah.
Or they can ask for a further extension, which you could agree upon with them.
Absolutely. We've got a question here from Swetha. What sort of control do we have on quality in terms of defects inspection?
So normally what I've seen with developers lately is obviously there's a pre-settlement inspection. You visit the property. Obviously in that time period, it's very hard to find what is the defects in the building.
Mm.
And I know a lot of the developers are giving 12 months now a defect period. So once you move into the property, you've got 12 months to check what is not right and then go back to the developer.
Mm.
And a lot of the new developers, they're coming in with a 5-year or 10-year warranty on the building. Some are giving lifetime. So
yes,
I think obviously with
new.
The new legislation coming in, our builders and developers are more aware of that.
Absolutely. Look, it is a main concern. And one of the things that you can do in that regard is have a professional building inspector join you at the pre-settlement inspection.
Correct.
So before you pay the 90%, you've got someone else, another set of eyes who are experienced, who see this on a daily basis, that can go out and say, okay, this is a defect, that's not good enough. Have that in writing to the builder so that at least you can work around
it. But sometimes even with a building and pest inspector in the pre-settlement, it's hard to check
it is hard to check everything. And that's why they give you the time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So once you've moved in, you've had a certain amount of time to live in the property and then they've got that sort of defects warranty period there as well. Okay, well, that's thank you for asking that question. What else have we seen in terms of things that go wrong with off the plan?
I think the main thing is obviously the property declines in value. That's the one of the main things. Obviously, the second is your financial situation changing.
Yeah.
So you can't complete the purchase. I think that's when it becomes a tricky situation because you've already entered into a contract which you can't complete.
Yeah.
Obviously, your 10% is up there for the taking.
Mm.
Obviously, there's a delay in the build as well.
Or a new builder's had to be appointed because something's gone wrong with the first builder.
Correct. That's obviously,
allowing.
Correct. So you always got to be open to this. It's obviously investment at the end of the day. You've got to allow for delays. It's a build at the end of the day, depending on weather as well. So
that's
you've
right.
got to always allow for delays and costs.
Extra time.
Yeah. Mm. And what I've seen is also some developers, with the rising construction costs as well, I know they've gone back to the buyers and asked for extra funding as well.
Yeah, it's happened. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which probably they're not in their right to, but that's when you have to seek independent legal advice from the solicitor. So
absolutely.
Because if you've paid us for a certain price has been agreed upon, there shouldn't be a change in price.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is one of those things. So, yeah, definitely allowing for those delays. And as it is, a risk and a reward scenario, the reward being, yes, there's going to be capital growth, assuming that there is capital growth in a couple of years and you've put in that a smaller amount of deposit, that's where they're sort of weighing off, okay, well, yes, you've held it for a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. Yes, now the rates have gone up or the actual price has gone up.
From what we've seen from our experience, I think there's always been more winners than losers in buying off the plan.
Yeah.
Especially in the northwest growth corridor, yeah. Not to plan in vacant land, for example.
Yeah.
I think there's been a lot of winnings there.
Mm, absolutely. So define that again. So obviously we've assumed we're talking about residential, as in high rise development. There is also buying off the plan in a block of land.
Yeah,
that's what you're referring to.
You can buy vacant land off the plan.
So subdivisions when they're doing renewed land releases.
Correct, and then there's also house and land packages. A lot of the developers are doing that as well. So basically, deposit balance on completion, so there's no progress payments involved.
Yeah.
So a lot of house and land packages are coming up that are off the plan as well. So there's a number of options out there.
Okay, and we've also got another question: would the builders be responsible for approvals?
Approvals
for... In terms of, Shweta, if you want to just expand on that, is that basically in terms of approvals for the actual buildings, so the certification, which typically in a high rise, that's all part of their price.
Correct.
That they are getting those approvals. But in terms of if you're talking about getting a house and land package and the approvals for that plan, occupancy certificate, yes, absolutely.
Correct, so 100%.
The settlement cannot happen until you have an occupancy certificate.
Because a lot of the lenders will be asking for the OC as well. Prior to funding
as
well.
Prior to funding the project, the lenders need that occupancy certificate, the subdivision plans or the strata plan, and the completion, physical completion of the building. So those are the three things that you need to have before you can settle on a
high-rise. What I've seen is a lot of developers doing pre-sale. So they've got a pre-sales on the books before they get the approval as well. So that's normal as well, which I've seen in the last 5 or 10 years as well.
Okay. And what are the some of the things that we have seen, things that sort of go wrong in terms of as the time, not actually go wrong, but in terms of the things you need to allow for at the time of settlement? So say, for example, if it's a residential versus a commercial, let's talk about that for a moment. You've got a investment property that is a residential property, or I've got a commercial property that is off the plan. What are the main differences in terms of that investment property? What do you think?
So what I've seen in the commercial space, what we're seeing lately is obviously people are returning to work from working from home. Leasing is taking a little bit more time. So you've got to allow for 6 to 12 months, commercial office space. Yep. So you've got to be patient there. Whereas if you're buying a residential property, normally you put on the market, it gets leased. But we've seen, 3 or 4 years ago, when there's big residential apartment blocks, even they sometimes...
They take time. So basically it's supply and demand once again.
But commercial strata offices, for example, are taking a little bit more time to lease out. I think selling is still quite strong. If I go from the Norwest Business Park, for example, selling, we're still getting record prices. Leasing taking a little bit more time, but I think it will start again because there's not many developments going up.
Absolutely. So in a nutshell, when you do have a commercial property that you've purchased off the plan, allow 6 to 12 months of finding a tenant as opposed to a residential property, which typically I would say, look, what the worst case scenario is probably 2 months, the longest that I've seen, but they do end up leasing a lot quicker. And the reason why that happens is because of supply. You've got so many properties coming on the market at the same time. They've all had settled at the same time. One of the things that we've done in that instance, for example, is whenever, because a lot of the times these settlements are staged as well. So the timing of the settlement for the units are staged. So if you can, so say, for example, if you've got a residential property or a commercial property that you want to lease out, depending on what the commercial side of things are with the current build up, but residential property, for example, we can get access and start marketing that property before settlement, get in as soon as settlement happens, show it straight away. You've got that advantage of, and having that sort of earlier settlement, you're stopping those flood off the market based on other properties coming on the market at the same time.
The value of commercial is obviously if it once it's leased out, the tenant normally sticks around.
For a long time.
1 to 3 years. So it's more stickier client as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they also pay all outgoings. So that's the other thing to look out for in terms of comparing the two asset classes. Residential, where you're paying for all the maintenance, all the outgoings. Your council rates, water rates, land tax, strata rates, if you own a residential unit, all of those are paid by the commercial tenant in a commercial tenancy. So there's definitely advantages from there.
And talking about commercial, industrial is going gangbusters as well. So that's, Very strong. So, yeah, diversify the portfolio.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, look, if there's any other questions that we can answer, feel free to send them through even after the podcast has finished. And do keep us posted if there's anything else of interest to you that we can expand on, provide more details on, we'd be more than happy to help out. Last question. In terms of stamp duty and GST, are there any other changes? Or your loan ratio, for example?
So, stamp duty, I know it's applicable on the GST inclusive price on commercials. So you've got to be mindful when buying commercial. There could be GST applicable, obviously, if you're buying vacant possession. If you're buying as a going concern when there's a tenant already in place in the property, so you can, there's no GST applicable there, but obviously get your independent legal advice.
Legal advice for that,
but GST, stamp duty is obviously paid on the purchase price plus GST.
In commercial. Yeah.
So in terms of financing, normally with a commercial property, LVRs are slightly lower, so you've got to normally have a 20-30% deposit. But obviously, if you've got a existing residential property, we can cross collateralize with it. We can find 100%, say, if you've got enough equity in the property. So, yeah.
There you go. That's the main difference.
Number of options out there.
Perfect. Well, in a nutshell, when you are buying a property off the plan, the three things that you want to look out for is making sure that you have independent legal advice, that you'll carefully review your contracts, and you conduct thorough research on the builder that's going to be building the property and have a look at their past projects to see the quality of their build so that if you are going to be living in it or renting it out, you know what you're going in for. We do have another question. What's the current cost to build per square meter for residential and commercial? What's the main difference?
So in terms of build cost,
so say it's a house and land package, it obviously varies.
It depends on the quality.
Say, for example, let's spin that around in terms of purchase price, for example.
Vacant land, what we're seeing across Sydney, minimum about $2,000 per square meter, $2,500 a square meter, depending on the area.
Yeah.
But in terms of construction costs, they can vary greatly.
Yeah.
It's hard to put a figure on it.
But in terms of, say, for example, purchasing a commercial property in the Norwest Business Park, what's the per square meter rate?
The rates are going, older buildings, probably 9 to 10,000 a square meter. We're achieving 12 to 13,000 a square meter now. And the new builds could be getting 14,000 a square meter as well for the small offices.
Yeah, perfect.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And as I mentioned, any other questions, you feel free to send them through and do let us know what else you would like us to discuss at the next time. Also, if you've got any guest speakers that you would like us to bring on the podcast, we'll be more than happy to bring them through for next time. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel for weekly episodes. See you guys next time.